Granny Lane always said, God don't like ugly. She said it whenever I smart-mouthed her, and she said it when I made Roger Arnett a Valentine out of black construction paper back in kindergarten. In fact, God don't like ugly was the main thing Granny Lane said to me when I did anything the least bit mean or rude. But she also said, some people just feel like home. And she was talking about me. She was talking about Mr. Virgil Willis, too, who often as not was sitting across the kitchen table drinking coffee when she said it. Mr. Virgil Willis was Granny's best friend. Just as good as a woman, she liked to say, excepting he don't know how to sew or put up preserves to save his own life. I can't tell you how many mornings of my life started out with me sitting at the kitchen table with Granny Lane and Mr. Willis, all of us eating oatmeal cereal and discussing the weather, just like a regular family. Mr. Willis always showed up first thing in the morning, and he always had some excuse for being there. Thought you'uns might care to know there's a big storm headed up over the mountain, he'd say, taking off his cap and combing his fingers through his thick white hair. I know it, 'cause my left big toe is like to fall off my foot. It hurts so bad. Mr. Willis, don't you know you don't have to have a reason to come visit? I told him one day around the time I was six. You're here so much, it'd be strange if you didn't show up. Granny Lane shushed me and sent me to the bedroom, hissing, God don't like ugly, Miss Maddie. Mr. Willis and Granny Lane were the first family I ever had, though I guess I should tell you up front that Granny Lane's not my real granny. She was just the old lady who lived next door when my mama decided to take a break from baby raising, right about the time I was 3 months old. My mama never bothered telling Granny Lane who my daddy was, and she never bothered coming back to Roan Mountain either. The last time anyone heard from her was when she sent the papers giving up her rights over me. After that, she kept quiet as quiet gets. I've had a few families since Mr. Willis and Granny Lane, and they've been better in some ways, worse in others. One or two held on to me for as long as they could, and one or two couldn't wait to see me go. All I can say is whenever I walk through a new door, I'm always looking for someone who feels like home. I never thought that person might be Murphy. Corinne told me to give you the tour of the home, I reported to Murphy on her second day there. You need to learn your way around. Murphy had been lying on her bed staring up at that little blue stone of hers. I suppose so, she said. Not that I plan on being here forever. The next second she was out of bed and marching down the hallway, looking left and right, up and down, her hands behind her back like she was visiting a museum. This is a fascinating tour so far, she said. Very interesting. I don't think you need a tour of the dorm, I told her, ignoring her sarcasm and sliding in front of her. You've seen the kitchen in the common room. You know the laundry room is downstairs. Let's go out and I'll show you which dorms are which. I led the way down the brick path from our dorm to the road that circled around the different buildings that made up the home. A plane engine roared overhead. I turned to Murphy and said, Hey, maybe that's your aunt flying over to the airfield. Maybe she's come back to get you. Murphy shook her head. I predict that at this very moment my aunt is in Paris having tea at some very nice castle. Believe me, her interest in me is limited.
So why would she promise to be your guardian?
Who knows, Murphy said. Maybe she was just being polite. She didn't sound all that mad about it, not like she had the night before.